This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? United march on. United are headed to Wembley. Wasn't pretty, but was the result we got. Thankfully, we didn't have to go to Pens
against
a yard off his line.
Wembley,
cruel.
We're the famous Manchester United, and we're going to Wembley. That's how we do. It doesn't matter. You know, in these tight fixture schedules, we got COVID shutdown, project restart. We just need wins. Doesn't matter if they're ugly. Hashtag Agallo FC. I would say Ole got it done, didn't need to go to Pens. Pens, I would have been pissed. Tim Krul, he's a great troll as it comes to penalties. You've seen him for the Netherlands in the World Cup, so you don't want to go to penalties with Timmy Krul.
I'm with you. It was so important to win it in extra time and not go into penalties because then they have an even advantage, right? All of a sudden, that man down they went doesn't play into factor. And they have a keeper that was a lot more active in this game, right? He was getting a lot of practice, making a lot of big saves to keep them in it in the first place. So, hey, like you said, it's not about whether it was pretty or not all the time. We got the result. Unfortunately, we had to bring the big boys in and get the job done, but we got the job done. And we're playing Chelsea scum.
Being Manchester United manager, it's a results-based game. Surprised Bruno started. I think he's getting a little fatigued, right? I think Bruno Fernandes playing a lot of minutes, and we need him at Brighton, right? I don't think we can rest him.
No, but he's a player that is used to playing a lot of minutes. He's playing a lot of minutes in the Portuguese league and showing his legs, man, right? We'll talk about it when we break down the game, but he was chasing back a ball in like the 118th minute, 115th minute. He's got it. He's got gas in the tank. A little wayward in passes sometimes in this game, but I think that's what you get with a creative player. It doesn't always come off.
That flick he does where he spins around ball, right? right off the 18-yard box. I mean, Bruno Fernandes, he's got everything in his locker. He's fit. Consummate professional. Absolutely love the Portuguese midfielder. But yeah, I think you have to think he needs a break. He's gonna need a break at some point. And the question is, Ole's got a lot to do. There's a lot tight fixture schedule, not a lot of fitness. And, we think we can rotate the squad, but it's hard. It was difficult.
I mean, it's true because I commend the job he did in changing the team up. You want to be able to do that. You want to be able to put out Scott McTominay, Fred, Agallo, and go get the job done. Lingard. Go put out Lingard and hopefully get a result. They were maybe on track to do it. Obviously, they can't well change that up. But
wasn't
he's trying.
Convincing.
But it wasn't a convincing performance for sure. Even when we had the big guns on it, it wasn't convincing.
I mean, look, Norwich looked like they wanted to win. The Canaries not... bottom of the table, probably getting relegated. They're a desperate side. They're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. They're playing at home. They showed up. Cantwell looking pretty sharp. I would say that young lad, saw him earlier in the year playing for Norwich, doing well. Thought about picking him up on my fantasy team. And I thought maybe Manchester United could pick him Cantwell up on the cheap. 28 million if Norwich gets relegated. Might be a good, cheap Sancho.
Cheaper than that, I'd say. I was 18 million. If he gets relegated, cash is going to be very... pricey this year. I think valuations are going to shift a little bit downward with COVID for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they would take something in the 20s, but for just giving us another option at right and left wing, he can play Cam. He could be a replacement for Jesse Lingard. Again, we have our eyes on Sancho. We'll get to that in the news a little later, but I like Campbell, 22 years old. He's sharp. He's leading the line on the top. A tough side and doing that against Manchester United. Not only that opportunity, but he had a lot of others, created a lot. Made our defense look a little shaky. And if you can do that on Norwich and you're 22, I think you could do that at Manchester United. Now people are saying, we want Jadon Sancho. Shut up, John, right?
Shut up, John. We all want Jadon Sancho. Don't ruin our summer, But you know what? United has a lot left to do. I think Jadon Sancho, if there's any possibility him happening this summer, it's a stretch anyway. We got to get Champions League football.
Maybe it was the double bun.
No, it's like if we don't finish the top four, then we got to win the Europa League because that's critical. I think that's the only way it happens. Probably in general, but especially if it's happened this year, we gotta get Champions League.
I just think I was impressed by the double Cantwell man bun, right? I mean, I have never.
He's
seen
not a bad
before,
backup option. If we don't make it, or if we do make it and we don't got the cash, I would take a Cantwell because he's another option.
Well, this is getting a little into the news, but Grealish Cantwell, Grealish to me a little liability off the field. he plays well in Aston Villa, but he's kind of their playmaker. You know, that's kind of like Paul Pogba's job or Bruno's job. So could he really fit in a side where he isn't the main man? But Cantwell just seems like he could fit in a little better at Manchester. I don't know why I feel that way. But what do you think, Grealish or Cantwell, sir? Pick one.
I take Grealish. He's off-field issues, but I think that's because he's like the big deal at Aston Villa. He comes to United. He's not the big deal anymore. He knows he needs to smarten up because there's nowhere to hide if he does that kind of thing.
People are going to be like, I'm losing my mind 5 minutes in the pod saying,
so what are we talking about? We got PSA for the pod.
Quick PSA for the podcast. You know, drop a review on iTunes. Alex and I do everything ourselves. This podcast, for fans by fans, absolutely love this club. Hate the Glazers, sir. Hashtag Glazers out. You want to support the podcast, you can visit americaredevils.com. We have some great fan-generated content on the blog. Shout out to all the contributors. Alex, editor-in-chief, doing a great job there. If you would like to contribute, email us, americaredevils.com. We're open to taking any and all points of view of the Manchester United fan base. That is the purpose of that platform. We got some great merchandise as well. I mentioned Glazers out. We got some Glazers out scarves. We got some great hoodies as well. We're reordering. A lot of those sizes are sold out. So if you're clamoring for one, just hit us with a size. We shall include it in the next order coming up here probably in a week. And also subscribe to our new YouTube channel. We're getting it off the ground, posting all the podcasts there. I'm going to do some clips as well. We got a lot on our plate. But Manchester United's back. Football's back. We love it.
Football's back. Football's coming back hot and heavy. Look at the schedule coming out. There's going to be 4 games in 10 days, sir. Quick turnarounds all around, but a lot to play for. A lot to play for. FA Cup, it's big. We're moving on. We're going to break down this game in a second, but everything left to play for. The league has gone the way it was looking to go anyway. The Scousers took their thing. We're not going to really talk about that.
How dare you?
We got some things to talk about.
How dare you talk about that on this podcast?
It happened. We should acknowledge it because you know what? We have to remind ourselves that we should be fighting for titles. This club needs
to
be competing.
Did Harry Potter say Lord Voldemort's name? He who shall not be named.
We got to acknowledge these.
Maybe Harry said it. I don't know.
They're 19 now.
They shall not be named on this
pod. We can't let them get to 20, and we certainly can't let them get to 21.
This is muddying the waters. I don't need this. I don't need this. All right. I don't want to talk about Chelsea beating City, Sterling hitting the post, not being able to finish him off. Like killing me. Absolutely.
We'll get our revenge no matter what, because we're playing Chelsea. Came out, I think, today. We're playing them in the semifinals of the FA Cup at the Wembley. So we're gonna have to beat him again.
So you done with the talk about the club who shall not be named?
Break down the game.
Okay, there you go. I got a lot of texts about that one. I'm not happy. Haven't gotten over it. Not happy. And as Paul Scholes said, we need to be competing for titles, not top four. We're not Arsenal. Oh, who's Arsenal at the moment? They're not even happy for winning top four. They're happy finishing top 10, bro.
Not
good. All right, let's jump in. Norwich 1, Manchester United 2. We did it in extra time, if you could believe it, at Carroll Road, the home of the Canaries, FA Cup quarterfinals. That was yesterday, 9:30 a.m. Pacific. Great, great kickoff time. Lineup, we had Romero in net. The Argentine number one, Maguire, Bailly, center back pairing, Dalot on the right, Shaw on the left, Fred McTominay midfield, sir. Fricktominay, I'm going to call that combo. Lingard, Fernandez, Mata with Fernandez in the hole, Igalo FC, till I die, up top. How are you feeling about that lineup?
I like what Ole's doing. I think you want to freshen up the squad. You want to bring some players in. The only player I had an issue with is Jesse Lingard, because at this point I'd rather put Angel Gomez in or Dan James in than Jesse Lingard. Lingard's not going to be it. It's not happening. It's just not working out.
So. I'd rather have Mata in the hole. I'd rather give Bruno a rest. I really think you put out the full B team squad and then you sub in the A's, which he had to do anyway.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, the new subs rule. So Ole had a lot of people on the bench. He had De Gea, Fosu Mensah. That's a shout out. Williams, Andreas Pereira, Matic, Pogba, Greenwood, Martial, and Rashford. So
pretty good bench.
Stacked bench. Jumping in first half, United quickly take control of the game, but it's a bit flat. Like you said, not an instant classic here at Carroll Road. 20th minute, nice ball from Bruno to Dalot in the box, but he can't get on the end of it. 22nd minute, good interplay from United. Ball falls to Igalo, but he can't shoot quickly enough. You know, this was kind of the story, just like we're talking about Project Restart. A lot of these players haven't started a match, right? So they're even more off the pace. You're going to see a little sloppiness here. 33rd minute, United look out of sorts. Norwich is able to break it, and it rattles around the box before Romero clears. There were glimpses where Norwich was going for it, and they actually looked pretty confident, right?
They did. They got some dangerous players as well, so... We didn't always look the dominant team today or yesterday.
And a dangerous moment, 44th minute, nice last-minute block from Maguire. Not the best finish from United, and Cantwell was involved there as well in the first half. You know, I'm a super fan. Going at halftime, what'd you think? Did Ole need to make subs? It was just kind of a sad first half after all that hype from Sheffield United, 3-0, right?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't too threatened. They had, you know, I think they had that chance at the end. That was a good one if Maguire didn't get in the way. But you wanted to be able to see this side go out there and give it a go and not make subs at halftime. So I was cool with him not making subs. I thought like to come out more direct, and they did. They looked better in the second half coming out versus how they finished the first.
Jumping in the second half, United, like you said, United were coming out more quickly, more direct. 46-minute Bruno involved, tries to pull off a swivel kick, but it doesn't come together.
Close, though.
Close, and we didn't have to wait too long, sir. 51st minute.
Is short. Trying to open things up. It might still work, and it did quite beautifully, and it's Ighalo who's done it again in the FA Cup. Manchester United breakthrough 5 minutes into the second half. And the man who arrived from China in January sends Manchester United closer to an FA Cup semi-final. Maguire steps in. Nobody gets out to him. It's sort of half-hearted. Fullback doesn't get out. And then it's closer with the flick on, so there's no offside. The experienced centre-half goes with the... it goes with the right foot. He's a left-footed player, and it's a poor clearance, and that's a great finish. Tim Krul with no chance, left exposed. Not an easy skill, this. You can see Ighalo just making sure he keeps his eye.
Halfway off the shin from Ighalo, but still a striker's goal. He's a poacher. He finishes in front of net. Hashtag Ighalo FC. Absolutely love it.
Great goal. Great goal from Ighalo. A little bit of a Zlatan finish. Just poking it home, whatever it takes.
I thought you were going to say great Ighalo.
Great Ighalo. Great Ighalo, Ighalo. But it was a hell of a goal. And I thought we were like, all right, that's it. We're good. I thought the boys would just open up from there. And it wasn't the case.
Yeah, you thought the floodgates were sort of open. We get that 3-0, that convincing win. But let's jump in. 63rd minute, triple sub. Williams, Rashford, Greenwood on for Dalot, Mata, and Lingard. So, hey, we're bringing out B-dubs, Rashford and Greenwood. Get Greenwood on the right there. 70th minute, Norwich almost bundled the ball into the United net, but somehow no goal. And, sir, we've been talking about him. He's wearing the double bun. You know, he's got it going on. That's our boy Cantwell.
But down between the Championship and Premier League. Cantwell! Oh, he's done it! Well, he's been threatening it right from the word go this afternoon. But Todd Cantwell delivers a fine, fine equaliser for Norwich City. And Manchester United will have to start again. Hernandez off the bench, who comes in.
They literally show Carrick on the bench, scraping his brow. Cantwell pulling, making something out of nothing there. United kind of got cut out with the overload. Maguire with kind of a lazy block attempt there, and that strike from distance beats Romero. It's hard to beat Sergio Romero.
It is. I think he was getting blocked by Maguire, but it was a good finish from Cantwell. Second time he's done that against Manchester United this season, right? I think he had a nice pop.
Yep.
Didn't he at Old Trafford? Definitely a player we should keep an eye on, right? He's a good young player. And then at this point, I was like, God, you know, all that good work, and now we're going to have to do it the hard way.
Yeah, so essentially resets everything, the error out of the sails, and then Ole, he saw the writing on the wall, 78th minute double sub, Pogba and Matic for Fred and McTominay. Let's get the A-team in there. 80th minute, instant impact. Pogba releases Greenwood, who takes a rip from right going to left. And at this one, I thought if he could get his boot around, it might have bent into the top corner. But Greenwood, when he hits it, that is blistering pace.
It wasn't far off, and the boy has a boot. He's a natural finisher, so you know the more chances he gets, the better.
RVP light, I think, is the term for that one. 82nd minute, Romero with a nice diving punch out. 84th, Norwich go inches wide of a winner. I mean, Norwich was really pressing here. This is nervy stuff for United. And then in the 88th minute, you know, big moment in the match, kind of resets the game.
Eric Bailly just sauntering forward for Manchester United. Lovely touch. Oh, was Ighalo being held? Certainly appeared that way. Well, he's gone then. Yeah. Red card, no doubt about it. Tim Closer, given his marching orders. Was it outside the box? That's the question. I think John Moss is positioned right on the edge. I'm not sure. Well, there's certainly no doubt that Ighalo used his strength and close.
I mean, another back-to-goal flick from Bruno Fernandes feeds Ighalo. He's basically on goal, and then Close tackles at Galo SC from behind. Clear red. United have the Norwich down to 10 men. United have the advantage in numbers. We got to finish them off, right? Easy as you like.
I mean, it would have been easier if Gala wasn't sacked down and you just finished right there, call it a game. Easy as you like. You would think, but, you know, it changes the way that they set up, and they know we've got a very good keeper, at least as penalties go, so it's even there. So they just wanted to get to penalties, right? They packed the box, everybody behind the ball, and it was a tough job to do to break them down.
96 minute before extra time, Pogba almost scored with a swerving kick from outside the box. Vintage Paul P., if he was wearing a Juventus shirt, this probably would have went in. That was everything. We're going to extra time. Extra time part one. Norwich with everyone behind the ball just going for penalties. I mean, this was going to be the theme. They have the, I don't know if they necessarily have an advantage, but Krul is a penalty specialist. I believe in the World Cup, he was brought in just for penalties. He didn't Correct. Play. And then it could have been LVG.
It was.
The one who was bringing him in back in the day. I think it was that 2018. Was I forget.
14, I think.
Well, we can debate that. we can fact check that one later. Extra time, plus seven sub Martial for Bailly. Ole becomes the first manager to actually sub six players ever. I thought that was an interesting stat. Extra time, plus 14. Pogba takes a pop from 30 yards out. Paul P just trying to bang it in because, hey, Norwich is packing the box. Norwich packing the box. Martial is inches wide from a tap-in. Extra time, plus 15, sir.
Oof.
Not convincing. United no. not convincing.
They look you tired. Have to think, we like, look pooped at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with fitness coming with Project Restart. Extra time part two. 21st minute, Maguire getting involved in the attack. He goes close from a corner, but Krul makes an amazing save. Diving save at the post. I thought this was going to be the winner. 24th minute, another fine save from Krul on Bruno. Krul all over the place. Hate Tim Krul. Not a fan. And 25th minute, Bruno tracks down a player 80 yards down the pitch. What a player. What showing amazing desire he's played in every single match. And for him to be able to make this run in extra time just shows the character that Bruno Fernandes has. And clearly, we're all going to be talking about the moment. Our captain, you know, he's had some criticism. I'm glad he got his goal.
Still seeking opening here. Good ball from Pogba. The layoff almost broke for Martial. And it scrambles home. And Maguire makes it count this time. And he might just have finally won this quarterfinal for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Manchester United.
He drinks his vodka, he drinks the Jaeger, it's fucking massive.
He did not want this game to go to penalty kicks. Norwich can't clear it, it's bobbling around, and then Maguire just gets in there aggressively, throws a left leg at it.
Hey, if you're going to Wembley, you're going to Wembley. I don't care how you do it. Harry Maguire, I mean, he wanted that goal. You can see it. He beat the defenders to the ball. He drinks the vodka, drinks the Jaeger. Harry Maguire, our captain, right?
His head's fucking massive.
This is true.
Finisher's goal. Not finisher's goal. Captain's goal. That was just a good, ugly goal. Slam it home. Nothing
that's
wrong with that.
That's my kind of goal. Scrappy goals.
It's like a FIFA goal. You know, you just whatever it takes, get it over the line. Norwich. Backs to the wall. You did not want to go to penalties, and we move on. So, hey, I'll take it. It's not always going
to
be pretty.
Cut to Ole on the bench looking relieved. That's a
Can't blame him. It was a long day.
Absolute long day. Match reaction stats. Possession, 66% of the ball to United, 34% to the Canaries. Shots, 36 for United. Shots on target, 8 for United. 12 corners. I mean, we had their number all day. Just couldn't get the ball to go in the box. Somehow, even with those lopsided stats, Norwich looked like they had equal the dangerous chances that we did. They were coming for it at certain points in the game, and I was nervous.
No, definitely in the first half when we looked a little out of sorts, they had their opportunities. Even at the end of the second half, right? They had a couple chances right at the death, so could have gone bad yesterday.
Well said. It could have gone very bad. But this is one of those things where it's like doing these jobs against these bad teams is almost as important as showing up in those, you know, for those bigger matches with, like, you know, the Tottenhams. I don't want to say Sheffield United, but, you know, the Cities, the Chelseas of the world. So, you know, I'm glad we were able to pip them. We needed to pip them. And we got to step up for a big match against Chelsea. Again, adding to our congested fixtures. It's going to be crazy. Absolutely crazy month. Manchester United have reached their 30th FA Cup semifinal more than any other team in the competition. That is hats off to United. That's why we are the best club in England. always the best club in England. No debate. Absolutely no debate, despite the fake news you saw on Twitter this week. Manchester United have won 11 of the last 13 away games at Norwich in all competitions, winning each of the last four. And Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the first manager to make six substitutions in a competitive match in English football. Hats off to Ole. And Cantwell's seventh goal of the season ended United's run of 448 minutes without conceding in the FA Cup. I thought that was pretty good. The last time we conceded was in last season's quarterfinal against Wolves. So we've done very well in the FA Cup this season. Let's hope we can kick on with a clean sheet against Chelsea. And United striker Odion Ighalo has scored in each of his last three appearances against Norwich City in all competitions, netting home and away for Watford in the 2015-2016 Premier League season. So he has their number. That's why Ole put him on the team sheet.
There you go. Likes those Canaries.
And Odion Ighalo has scored in all four of his starts for Manchester United. Five goals, scoring with his first shot in this match with what was the game's first shot on target. I mean, Ighalo FC, it's real. We've paid Shanghai Shenzhen or whatever they're called a lot of money for a loanee, and I wish he would stay longer. Honestly, we need him on probably all next season. The fact that we're going to have to deal with him maybe going in next January is nuts. And we've already paid them like real, real good money.
$6 million is nothing to shake at. So, yeah, he's going to have an impact, and he's already having an impact. That goal was a big one, and I think he's going to score some big goals this year and next year before we have to figure out what happens in January, right? Because isn't it going to be midway through? I don't even know where the second transfer window is going to be. Is it going to be January? The first one's going to close in October.
Ed hasn't faxed me the contract.
Oh, he hasn't?
All right, let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Very happy for Anthony, of course, when you get your hat trick. It's just unfortunate that he couldn't celebrate with our fans. And I thought our performance deserved a win, definitely.
All right, that is the press conference from the last game. Do we have the press conference from this game?
It doesn't look like it. That was basically the agenda, so we're going to roll with it.
No, I think we can pull this up. Sir, what do you think Ole's going to say about the Norwich match post-game presser?
I mean, I would imagine he was disappointed that we didn't do it a little more convincingly, but I'm sure he was happy to avoid penalties. And just move on, because it's about moving on. So let's see what he says.
All right, second try.
Apologies.
Here, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Hi, Ole. What was your reception? Can I ask you about Jesse? I'm writing a piece about him, about his performance, about the way that he's been training his future of the club.
Well, we're through. We're really happy with going through, of course. I think we... Jesse and the others that hadn't played needed another game, needed minutes, needed to get the sharpness back. And in that respect, this worked out really well. I think the difference between training and game, that competitive edge, will help them in the next few months.
And Sam Wallace.
Hello, Ole.
Hi, Sam.
Just in that first half, I mean, I know you just went over it slightly in that question there, but why did you feel that it started so slowly?
No, well, you know, this team, yeah, they played together against Derby in the last round. Harry and Victor swapped places, but it took us too long to get into the rhythm of and trusting ourselves, playing the passes through the lines, running in behind, one and two touch. We took two or three touch and took too many touches, and the ball moved a little bit slow. But, you know, we had possession. We kept just prodding. And in the end, we got the goals we needed.
Okay, James Cooper.
Hi, Ollie.
Hiya.
Harry Maguire scored a couple of very important FA Cup goals for you, perhaps the most important in this competition, the one at Tranmere that set you on your way, and then tonight.
Yeah, he's and the two different goals, and maybe two goals that you don't expect from him, one from 30 yards top corner and today like a poacher's goal. You might expect him to score on the header, but Tim Krul decided not to, because that was a fantastic save just before Harry scored his goal. So Harry has been magnificent since he's come to the club. His leadership skills are there to be seen. He helps us with the build-up. And today, I think he won every single header, won every challenge. So very pleased with Harry.
Tom Barkley. Hi, Ollie. You became the first manager in English football to make six substitutions.
All right, that's it with that meaningless question here. For opening with the Lingard question, I think the answer, if I'm going to translate Ollie Mr. Nice Guy, was...
he's out of here.
Didn't even mention his name. That non-answer was so obvious.
That flavor saver is out of here, sir. That Jesse Lingard... Blackburn Rovers, new number 10. That's all I got to say.
Championship. He's a championship player.
No, I mean, look, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ole, Mr. Nice. I think he said it right. Too many touches. Weren't getting in behind. A little lazy. I think from a tactical perspective, he's usually pretty honest. Deflects when the player conversations happen. And then clearly the press go with these like nonsense questions about how does it feel to make six substitutions? I mean, like, really? Like, that's it? Okay. There was a draw for the semifinals of the FA Cup. We drew Chelsea. Hello, hello, hello. Chelsea sucks. This is fucking hello. All the money they took from with the big Russian crook. And you'll never win three in a row. I absolutely love it. Hate Chelsea.
Ugh.
It killed me that they beat City. That was really tough for the race for top four. We'll get into that soon. Chelsea fans trolling me on the text thread, sir. I can't handle Chelsea winning. Christian Pulisic scoring for them. Just... I love Christian Pulisic because he's U.S. men's national team player. He's the hope. He's our only hope for qualifying for the World Cup here coming in 2022. But at the end of the day, my hate for Chelsea cancels out my love for Pulisic. I have to say it hurts me. I want him to do terrible for Chelsea, amazing for U.S. men's national team. Or maybe good enough for Chelsea so that they don't
get rid of
overtake us in the table.
Yes, just good enough so like he's got Champions League football, becomes a better footballer.
Because all American Red Devils can relate. You like Pooley, but you don't like to see Pooley score.
Not against
in
us.
In a game where, you know, for top four, it matters and it's killing us. It's like a double. It's like, how dare you do me like that, Pooley?
I mean, he did him dirty. He did City dirty.
Amazing goal. I mean, you see him beat Mendy. Like, I haven't seen an American, like our friends were texting him about that. They're like, he's like probably the best player we've ever made. You know, I'm partial to Dempsey just because of what he's done. Pooley, the hype, how he beat a man, like the pace, the finish, just like he looks solid. Like he can be a top player in the EPL. And I don't think we've ever had, you know, quite that talent in that type of league. So hats off to Pooley doing well, but hey, Chelsea scum, and we got to beat him. And we're going to face him too. That's a great point. We're going to face him in this July. Semifinals will be played at Wembley Saturday, July 18th and Sunday, July 19th. And then the other semifinal, City versus Arsenal. Clearly, City got the better draw. They got to play against David Luiz, who likes to score goals and get red cards to sabotage Arsenal. So City getting a lucky draw, but could you imagine a Manchester Derby FA Cup final?
So we're going to have to do it the hard way.
We have a lot to settle. We got to pip Super Frank. Then we got to beat probably Pep.
Yep, I mean, again,
And Ole came out. I retweeted. He said, we need to win things. Right now, he said, we need to win things. And
he knows the fans are hungry. After Liverpool taking the title, we're going to want to get at least an FA Cup. Sorry, it happened. It happened. Get over it. It happened. Let's move on.
No, I build this team. Stop talking about it on the pod. Like, I just can't handle it.
I'm just saying, we got to win some silverware.
Yes, of course. I don't know why you keep bringing it up. FA Cup is very important. Now, you're rattling me. I lost my train of thought. I can't handle it. It's like,
sorry, sir.
I just like have just erased that from my mind already.
Never happened.
It never happened.
Never happened. Who?
They don't exist. This trophy, how confident are you in this FA Cup? You know, Chelsea look... I made the comment on the pod. Chelsea don't look like a good side. I said they're going to be right for City to take. I got that completely wrong. I look at their team. I just see a bunch of like rag. I see us like 3 years ago. They kind of have some nice players, but they're not all clicking yet. And I look at United. I see us playing together much better. But clearly Chelsea has something in Pulisic because he's the man they put on, and all of a sudden he's played really well. Barkley looks to be kind of on the up and up. And all these guys, you know, like Kovacic, those guys are all on the bench. Jorginho's, those guys have already been like kicked out. So maybe they have found something, but their strikers, Giroud and Abraham. I mean, are they really the guys to beat us? You know, it's like we really need to beat Chelsea. There's no excuses in that match. We got it. And like when you get to the final for City, you know, we've already beat City a few times, but it's for silverware. And we don't have enough players that have that type of experience. So, you know, it's too, to me, I think the shoes are like a little too big for this squad right now to play City and FA Cup. Obviously, we're talking about a final.
We're not even there yet.
But, you know, it's like when the EFL was kind of lost, we could beat them. or when City's kind of like not really focused because they know they're going to lose the league, not playing for much, we can beat them, but can we beat them for a trophy, like on the day? Like, that's really the intangible.
I think we've got everybody fit. It's ours to win. You know, it's like United's got to go out there and play better.
And then I think we have Pogba, and I'm like,
dude,
we can
Pogba,
beat
Bruno, yeah. Rashford, yeah. Martial, like yeah, Greenwood, like against them. I mean, yeah. I like Pulisic. I still think their best player is Conte. And I think Super Frank is finally probably getting 11 right because he wasn't even starting Pooley.
We haven't won things for so long. I guess I'm afraid to win things. I don't know.
And do it the hard way, because we're going to have to do it the hard way. We have to beat Chelsea, and then we're going to have to beat City. And we should be able to, because they might be too far ahead of us to catch, but Leicester might be falling out. You know, we're going to talk about this table in a second. It's interesting because Leicester is like falling fast, but Wolves are right on our heels, right? And
they're not on our heels anymore. They've pipped us already. Let's do a top four check-in. That's right. The club who shall not be named, they are first place, sir. Manchester City, they are second with 63 points. Leicester City with 55. Chelsea with 54. Wolverhampton with 52 because they played yesterday. They beat Aston Villa 1-0. Manchester United with 49 points. And then Tottenham Hotspur on 45. So you want to look at rival watch. Chelsea play West Ham Wednesday. We desperately need Chelsea to drop points. Leicester play Everton Wednesday. So those are two big fixtures. Obviously, we're going to be playing before then, so we have to dispatch Brighton easily. But it's a tight turnaround from Norwich, and a lot of players did get minutes. So at the end of the day, the Wolves kind of pipping us. Now we're in sixth, and so you're starting to see this table kind of cha-ching, 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 up and down. If you check in with the bookies, we've talked about the movement and the odds. Chelsea last week, they're a minus 200 for top four. Now they're minus 350. They're odds-on favorite. Now, when I talk about odds on favorite, I'm excluding the club who shall not be named and Manchester City, because they both are kind of not even, the bookies are not even taking odds on them making top four. So I'm kind of looking those last two spots. Chelsea, minus 350 for minus 200. Leicester, falling fast. They start out minus 700. They went to minus 5. Now they're minus 250. United, that Chelsea win cost us. We went from plus 110 to plus 138. So you're starting to see how these odds are shifting around. But what we're seeing is Leicester's falling fast in the stock market, sir. United kind of, you know, that Chelsea win, that hurt us.
Yep.
That hurt, and the Wolves win as well. So, you know, when we win and we go over Wolves, you know, things are going to change in the table. Wolves plus 400. They were plus 450 last time. So, you know, those odds are tightening. And Tottenham, they went from plus 1400 to plus 1600. I'm about to take Tottenham off the list. They're pretty much out of it. So it's really Chelsea, Leicester, Manchester United, and Wolves fighting for two spots, with Chelsea and Leicester right now leading the bookies' odds by a pretty wide margin compared to United. And that brings up the last game of the season against Leicester City. Woo! Could decide top four for Manchester United if things continue the way that they are doing.
Big match.
Leicester City on 55 points, sir. We are on 52, but the problem is they have an unbelievable... no, we're on 49. So say if we win this game, we need Leicester to drop points and we would be tied. They have plus 30 goal differential. We have plus 17 goal differential. So it could come down to the last game. We could be tied. We could tie them and then miss out on top four by goal differential. Again, the City Champions League appeal. It's going to be heard out soon. So we'll know what's happening. Lots of moving parts. But I'm starting to think Leicester might be the team that we're competing with, and Chelsea might be the third place, and we might be competing fourth with Leicester. So I'm kind of taking the spotlight off Chelsea and watching their games to starting to watch Leicester City's games.
No, I think you're right, because I think Chelsea, somehow, some way, they're playing well. Leicester are not. They're falling apart. Like,
exactly.
They fell apart after the break, and actually Chelsea got better. So if that's how it's got to be, that's how it's got to be, and that means that we have our hands, our future in our hands, because we're going to be playing them in the last game of the season, and I have a feeling it's going to be a decisive match. I feel
like
I
looked at it, I was like, first I didn't really think much of it, because I was thinking we were competing with Chelsea, and now I'm like, Leicester match, that might be winning you're in, and for United fans, the last match of the season, that could just be, you know, it's almost like it's meant to be. It's written in the stars, you know, that like... The footballing gods, they put Leicester on the last day, and we're competing with them, so you never know. But we always have a next match, and that is Brighton and Hove Albion FC versus Manchester United in English Premier League at the Amex Stadium. We've been there. We've had a few pies, sir. You love the pies at Amex Stadium.
Very fine.
Great fish and chips down in Brighton, down by the coast. Delish. It's probably, 2 hour?
2 hours from
two
London.
2 to 3 hour train ride. Have a few dark ales on the train. Hop off, grab some fish and chips, go to a match, sir. It's great. Lifetime, we've played 22 times against Brighton. We've won 14, drawn 5, lost 3. We first played them in January 1909 and won 1-0 in the FA Cup. Just to give you a perspective on how long ago that was, life expectancy for a male was around 50 years. And actually, in that same year, the first pig officially flew in a basket on a plane. So I'm bringing all the stats.
Look at all the stats.
I mean, that everyone says
pig in a plate.
When pigs fly. Well, pigs did fly in 1909. That was the year. You want to debate it? There it is. Founded in 1901 and nicknamed the Seagulls or Albion. Brighton play. I mean, who founds this team in 1901 and be like, we're going to be called the Seagulls? Brighton played
majestic bird, a majestic bird.
You know, it's
it's a bird.
Yeah, shits all over the beach. They played their early professional football in the Southern League before being elected to the Football League in 1920. The club enjoyed its greatest prominence between 1979 and 83 when they played in the first division and reached the 1983 FA Cup final, losing to Manchester United after a replay, and then they were relegated in the same season. By the late 1900s, Brighton was in the fourth tier of English football fighting, and they're having financial difficulties after narrowly avoiding relegation from the Football League to the conference. That's a big one. You do not want that. They were then taken over, and they've made the resurgence, and they won. Basically, they finished second in the EFL Championship. We saw them that season play QPR in the Championship on a Friday night in London. That was
speaking hysterical. Of dark ales.
And now they've been a mainstay in the Premier League. What's amazing about Brighton is certain clubs come up to the EPL
and stay,
and they're one club that has. I mean, they got Glenn Murray, the balding, tall striker who's done a flick or two against Manchester United. I mean, a few goals he scored against us. And I'm a little worried about him, but we should be able to easily dispatch Brighton, right?
We should, but we're going to have to put the big boys out. They're going to...
Yes, like, big guns.
Big guns.
We ain't that's all to, we got is that.
No, we all got is big guns. I would just always start the big guns, and then if you say route them. Route them in the first half, we'll sub you guys off.
Yeah, earn your
get
rest.
Get three goals in the first half, and you guys can all come off.
Physio room, not much has changed. Twanzebe, Phil Jones out. Let's hear your lineup for Brighton, sir. What do you got? We're playing away.
Sir, I'm going strength to strength. We're going to have David De Gea in net. Who else? Back four of AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw. Midfield of Matic, Pogba, Bruno. Front three, Martial, Rashford, Greenwood.
Okay, so you literally read my lineup?
No, that's that is the lineup from the Blades.
No, I know. I was just saying.
No, I wasn't even looking.
Just for reference, like, we have an agenda laid out on a laptop.
I did not look.
And then, like, Alex didn't do his lineup, and he just literally read my lineup.
I didn't read it. I just did the same lineup as the Blades game, and that happens to be your lineup.
Well, you know what? I think everyone knows the best 11 for Manchester United. I don't think there are any injuries, and I think you're right. Rarely do we agree on the starting 11. Usually we're pulling in a player here, a player there, but I think most fans do agree. De Gea, Obi-Wan Bissaka. Obi-Wan.
He's so good.
The Jedi.
He's starting to learn how to attack, too.
That is the name of my fantasy team. Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. You could argue for James.
I was going to say, James instead of Greenwood. On the break, maybe the pace, you know, like, we haven't seen him.
I guess a team you need to break. I like giving Greenwood the nod because he just looks like, when he gets the ball in the box, it might be a few times a game. He might not be involved as much as you'd like to see. Like, it seems like James plays on the right. He's like motoring up and down, and you always judge him on his crosses, or did he make the right decision with the pass getting down into the corner. And with Greenwood, it's about him getting involved and getting the ball on his feet in the box and trying to score with his left or right. So it's a totally different dynamic. But I think when you're trying to break down a compact team who's in a relegation fight, you got to put on Greenwood versus a James.
I agree with you because he could beat a man in open space better than James can. James has the pace, right? If he has a guy beat and you put it into open space, he can beat him in a foot race all day. But the thing is, Greenwood could beat a man, right? Dunkaroo. He was dunking folks when he comes on the pitch. And he could finish. He's a much better finisher. He's more likely to score. So if you have him,
and also
his upside's higher too.
When you have AWB on the overload on the right-hand side, it kind of takes the edge off Greenwood because he can go inside and then AWB can get the cross in. So you don't have to rely on James doing that. And, you know, you'll see James when we play City in the FA Cup final. That's where you put James on the trying to get him behind, trying to do the counter, stuff like that. So I think you're starting to see that situational who could start in that on that right wing for Manchester United. Booking the bookies, Brighton plus 425, the draw plus 260, Manchester United minus 138 to win. You know, not much there from the book. I mean, like, we should be favored a little better.
I think so.
To score.
It's a must win. It's a must win for United.
Every game's must win. If Chelsea beats City, even if Chelsea loses to City, it's a must win because at this point, every point is so precious. and we can't be in a situation where we're drawing a Brighton away. To score the odds for Manchester United, Martial plus 333, Rashford plus 350, Igalo plus 400, Greenwood plus 600, Bruno plus 550, Pogba plus 850, and just the Fred watch, waiting for Fred to score, yeah, plus 2,800. I know he's there's due. Somebody. I know he's there's. Due. I know there's a Mank up there going to William Hill, and every time he bets Fred to score,
a tenner,
ten pounds. He's just Fred like a to tenner. Score. It's got to happen.
He'll have one day. Not today, though. Probably not against Brighton, but you never know.
Looking at Brighton, Maupai, he's kind of the bald. I think he plays number 10, but he's a trickster. Plus 650 and Murray plus 700. So clear the odds favor United in all fronts. But, you know, Murray did have that great flick against De Gea. Brighton have pipped us before. What do you got? Score prediction.
Sir, I think we go. We know how important this game is. We go full blazing, 3-0. Roll Brighton. Roll the Seagulls.
I'm going to say something like Norwich 2-1. I think we figured it. Maybe we think we have it all figured out too soon, and we're going to have a little bit of a reality check, maybe a defensive error, something like that. Could have to get it back. Maybe more nervy than we want. Clearly, I thought Norwich would just be breeze, and I hope Brighton's a breeze. It's just better for my heart, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, the ultimate hedge.
Something tells me the away element in Project Restart, you don't think it matters, but it does, because it's just the travel, getting down there, you know, the locker room situation. It's just not the same as playing at Old Trafford. So I think the boost at Old Trafford is still real, and I think it's still tough going away. And this is something we've never seen before. So we're starting to evaluate results live. And we've seen a lot of draws, a lot of good teams drawing bad teams, you know, some not exciting games. And, you know, as Manchester United fans, we've been fortunate, but there have been some boring games out there, like Leicester drawing, Sheffield United drawing, you know, these are the type of matches that get you.
Been a lot of boring matches, to be honest. I think it's tired legs. So I think as players get more and more fit, as they get into the games, that will get better.
But these are the games. If there was a criticism of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it's these games that are tough. It's the lower opposition teams that are going to pack it in the box, and they're going to make you break them down. Can we convincingly beat them? And the way to do that is you get an early goal, and it opens up, and then you kill them.
Yep.
And that's how it has to be done. The playbook's been there for years, so Alex knew how to do it. He knew how to do it so well, it was scary. And that's where Ole has to, that's where his bread's buttered right now. We got to be beating bad sides away.
And I also think he's got to take advantage of this five sub rule, because we've got a good bench for the first time in a long time. So he really should try and be like, guys, you know, get in early, hit him again. And if you can, that way we can bring in the subs at halftime, where you can bring out your studs and then put the kids in.
Yeah, maybe Ole needs a color guy. Maybe you could be that. So you can just tell me.
Sir, I think all he's doing just
fine. All right, sir. United in the news. There's that music. We are back with the iPad and the sound effects. It's been a bit. Manchester United newest wonder kid, Ethan Laird, will be promoted to the senior squad by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as fullback, follows in the footsteps of Marcus Rashford. Those who are not familiar with Ethan Laird, he's been called up to Manchester United's first team. If you follow Manchester United and you know the history of the club, this is what it's all about. 18-year-old who's been impressing in the under-23s, being called up to the first team, training with the first team. Laird plays fullback. He's pacey. He's quick. It's exactly what you want to see. And obviously, without the big money spending, we're starting to see moves like, get these kids game time. Can they handle it? But this is a name to watch out for, Ethan Laird, because at the end of the day, we love the youth academy, like breeding first team players. That's what it's all about at Manchester United. So anytime it comes up, we gotta give him a shout. Good luck to Ethan.
All day, because the players that we just let go recently, you know, we let go a couple fullbacks because players like Laird are hot on their heels, 18 years old. And I think this move is put some pressure on Delo, right? Delo thinks he's got that backup spot locked down. Laird's 18, and Delo looked a little out of sorts. He certainly looked a little out of sorts against Norwich.
I'm surprised he got the start, honestly. You know,
he looks very vulnerable defensively.
I think there's just players that Ole likes certain players, and like, I think DeLo's got it. I think he needs time. So maybe like a loan might
be. He could use a loan, you think.
Maybe a loan to like the championship would be good for him, just get week in, week out. But like, clearly there's something like Lingard gets last chance.
Over and over again.
Like over it, over and over again. He just won't stop trying to play Jesse Lingard. And I'm sure that's because he's seeing something in training where he just can't do it when it's game time. It has to be the issue with Jesse, because he keeps going back to him. And clearly he's done and dusted. We'll get to that in a bit. Next bit of news, Igalo FC equals 95-year-old Manchester United record with FA Cup goal against Norwich City. And when he scored that goal, he became only the second player in the club's history to have scored in each of his first four competitive starts for the Red Devils. According to Opta Stats, the previous player to do this was Jimmy Hansen, who achieved the feat in 1925 when he scored in consecutive starts against Hull City, Blackburn, Derby County, and Aston Villa. A little bit of history, almost 100 years since we've seen that. So we're going to talk about good form for number nine. Coming in on loan, Odion Ighalo has been that for Manchester United.
Viva Ighalo. Yeah. Instant impact. That's what it's all about.
I'm not buying that song. It's a Ronaldo.
Ronaldo's gone.
It's a Ronaldo song.
It sounds good. And
Ballon d'Or winner for Manchester United, Champions League winner for Manchester United, Golden Boot winner
United. You're also a huge fanboy.
You don't swap that song out. I mean, I guess you could say the Matic Vidic chant. He comes from Serbia. You know, he'll fucking murder you. Nemanja. Oh.
Yeah, it works as well.
Yeah, it does. So, Nemanja, it works. So
it works.
The chance get kind of that one kind of
it bothers you.
Ighalo should have his own. I think he's a good enough player.
Well, viva Ighalo.
He's a cult hero, sir. Cult classic.
It's just fun to sing. It's one of those songs that like they wanted to
it's
give.
It's a little lazy, in my opinion.
Oh well, you know, write a letter.
Reappropriating chance. I'll write
a letter.
I'll send the letter to the away support.
Let them know. Let them know how you feel.
They're not singing songs anymore. Next bit of news, this is two articles, but one theme, and we've talked about this a lot on the pod, one from the Mail, quote, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer told he must sacrifice four Manchester United stars, including Jesse Lingard, Alexis Sanchez, to land £110 million rated Borussia Dortmund sensation Jadon Sancho. This is per the Mail. And then per the Express, similar article, Ed Woodward has told Solskjaer he must trim squad if he wants to make £110 million bid for Jadon Sancho, Lingard, Smalling, Jones, Pereira, Sanchez. Could all leave Old Trafford. That's per the Express, clearly a source coming out. Kind of setting expectations here. I would say Neil Ashton might be behind this, basically saying, hey guys, we're going to have to get rid of a lot of players to be able to afford Sancho. That's kind of the narrative. You're already seeing it. We said Manchester United, they have that cash crunch on their balance sheet. How much is someone going to pay for Lingard? I mean, really, the problem is like, and somebody tweeted us this too, and we didn't talk about it. They said, hey, can't we buy Sancho if we sell a bunch of players? And this is kind of what this article is about. But the valuations, like you talked about Campbell, they're going to be depressed. So how much is someone going to pay for Pereira? How much is someone going to pay for Phil Jones? How much is someone going to pay for Chris Smalling? How much is someone going to pay for Jesse Lingard? It's like if you ever play FIFA Ultimate Team, you buy these players for big prices and you sell them for nothing. That's kind of what Manchester United's all about. So like, could you raise 30 million
40?
If you sold these? I mean, 40, 50? I mean, I just don't think there's going to be a market for these players.
I mean, the big one would be
like
moving.
A big market. Like, where's Smalling going to go? Like,
well, Smalling's the most desirable, right? He's at Roma. They want to keep him.
But, you know, like, Artur.
They're not going to pay big money. They'll probably pay $10 million max.
But, like, Artur went to Juventus for $72 million. Who are we selling for £72 million on our team other than Paul?
But they did a swap. They did Marcus a swap.
But you get what I'm saying? Is like, we need a big money deal to finance Sancho. So
they're hedging. So do you think they're hedging, or do you think if you actually move these players, we could get a deal done?
If you sold Paul Pogba, you could buy Jadon Sancho. If you sold Marcus Rashford, you could buy Jadon Sancho. But you could sell Lingard all day, and you ain't gonna get there. So if you say all the players they listed, Lingard, how much does he go for? 15 if you're lucky. Chris Smalling again, 10. 15 if you're lucky. Yeah. Phil Jones, 8 if you're lucky. That's $38 million. Andres Pereira, 12.
If you're lucky.
Right. Then you're talking, that's 50. And then Sanchez, who's going to want that contract?
No one wants him. That actually would save us money. We just need to get rid of the contract.
Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, no one will wants to buy Sanchez. So I actually think the most you could get 40 or 50 million from those players, 55 if you're lucky. Do they have
that's a stretch? And that's also a stretch.
And then if you look at that article I wrote, how much cash they have,
we need Champions League as well, right?
They could do that if they structured the deal. Right, if they gave Dortmund like 70 up front, sold all those players, got the 55, added 15, gave them 70 up front, and they structured it with milestones all the way up to like 130 or something, they could get there. I think that the more I've been reading about Sancho, he's not been playing. He wants to leave Dortmund. That's basically the chirping out of Germany. He's motivated for a transfer. Dortmund wants to get rid of him. They want a big check for him. I think Manchester United are interested. I know Ole wants him. And we're seeing articles like this. And I think they're going to wheel and deal and try to get it done, which is great as a fan. But don't expect more than Sancho. Don't expect Jack Grealish. Don't expect Cantwell, you know?
At this point, if we keep a hold of Pogba, I would be happy with... If we can get Sancho, that's a great summer.
I get rid of every player on that list except for Andres Pereira.
Yeah, I wouldn't get rid of Pereira. because he's 24 and he's worth having around, and he can run around at the end of a game if you're up a couple goals and he can do a job.
Yeah, so, and plus the Brazilian.
He's still relatively young. He's 24. Lingard is 28. Smalling is 30. Phil Jones is 30. It's like those players got to go.
Yeah.
Right? No, but I don't know. And he's not going to raise that much money anyway, because think about it, the teams that would normally buy a Jesse Lingard or a Pereira, right? Like the Evertons, the Leicesters, the Watfords, they're going to be cash trapped too. So it's like there's not going to be a lot of cash flying around in general. That's why you saw that the Barca swap deal, which apparently Barca fans were like furious about, because they basically swapped the 30-year-old for a 23-year-old. And they were like, good luck.
Yeah. Hey, I wish we had cash. I wish United had cash, because they could make a lot of great deals right now. But unfortunately, we don't. Hashtag Glazers out. Next bit of news: when Roy Keane speaks, we listen. Quote from Keane: "So no, I don't see United competing in the next year or two for the league. I think there's going to be improvement and they will close the gap, but there's a bit of work to do for Ole and the players. They're missing something." This is from the Irish Independent. Roy Keane speaking on Manchester United: "Doesn't think we're there to compete for the league in the next year or two. I would disagree if we had the cash to splash. I agree with him because United can't be aggressive given what we know about their finances that are public."
See, I think he's talking more about the mentality. I think this is about mentality, because I think he might be right. If this team does not win silverware, and arguably two pieces of silverware this season, and finish in the top four, even if they don't finish ahead of Chelsea, but they should finish ahead of Leicester based on the way things are headed, then he's right. Because he's like, we got a really good team. You got Pogba, Matic, Bruno Fernandes, Rashford, Martial, David De Gea, Harry Maguire in a team. Dude, you got to be able to beat all these teams in these games coming up. The Brightons, the West Hams, the Southamptons. So I agree with Keane. But it's like undecided. Because if we do finish strong, if we do finish top four and win some silverware, then I think this team is a couple players away. A Sancho, maybe a DM and a CB, you know, a central back. It's just like we're not that far off if this team can prove it right now.
I totally agree. It's just we need to prove the intangible is, like, the players are good enough, but the intangible is, do you have the desire,
mentality
to win the trophies on the day? Can you show up and beat City for silverware? Can you show up and take the Europa League when everything's on the table? We could be in a position where we don't make top four, City win the appeal, and then we're playing for it in this sort of like March Madness tournament, and like, you got to be a winner if you want to be at Manchester United, and fans are not going to, I hate to say it, it's almost out of Ole's hands at this point, because he knows we need to win. He knows we need to win silverware. It's on the players. You know, he can protect them all he wants, but these players, this group of players has to show us, Paul Pogba has to show us why he is one of the best players in the world. He has to show us how he won a World Cup. He's got to step up in an FA Cup final and do what he did in the World Cup final, right?
They're going to have a chance, right? We're going to have a chance in the Europa League, and we're going to have a chance in the FA Cup. We're going to Wembley. We're playing Chelsea.
It'd be atrocious to lose to Chelsea, especially after we lost them in the final. It would be,
especially after we've had their number this year.
No, it would that.
It's a huge game. Now it's like the game of the season.
I mean,
Do we ever have a break? We had a rest.
Every game is like
we had a rest during the lockdown. But we were
so stressed out since football's come back. I forgot about it. But it's like, you know, there's always Tottenham big game. It's like unbelievable.
Manchester United, it's a big game for everybody.
All right, let's jump in some fan questions at Dave Paws on Twitter. Pardon my French. It's his quote: "Thank fuck for Slabhead. It proves we have no strength in depth. Our starting 11 is good, but after that, we are not as great as we saw in the first half. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Woodward out." Totally agree. Do you think that we're that out of depth as he suggests? It is a shame Jesse can't come in and do a job, right? It's just one of those things where I think the players just we are missing something. Keane said it. Dave's saying it. I think we are.
See, I tend to ear more with what Ole said after the match, which is like those players just haven't played as much as the players that started against Sheffield United. And I tend to agree with that. What was concerning was that we brought the big guns on in the second half and in overtime, and we still didn't look that great. So this team's going to have to prove. I'm telling you, it's the long haul. It's like, I think subs are going to have more of an impact. I think the starting 11 is going to have to prove it.
My criticism only goes back to the same guys. Like you said earlier in the pod,
Lingard shouldn't have played.
Like, you're like Gomez, Chong, like Garner, like James. I'm fine for rotation, but like, what about rotation with players who like, because like clearly the Jessies have gotten the chances, they've squandered them. So give those chances to younger players. I would prefer to see that, honestly. And
totally,
if you think about it, you're just really flipping over the cards. Who's got it? Who's going to step up in FA Cup quarterfinal. And if it's Gomez, if he breaks out in that game and shows us why he needs more money, then that's better for the squad. I think Jesse Lingard, we all know where he's going. I think he knows where it's going, but it's just like Ole keeps going back to it a little too much. And I think he needs to get the youngsters in. I think he needs to get like the youngsters involved a little more.
I agree.
A little more rotation, because competition is good. Like, maybe Jesse will work for it if Gomez gets the start over him.
I agree with you, and I also think it's like, stop going back to Lingard. It's like, he's shown he can't do it, unfortunately. You know, we just have to move on with that, and you have some other players that maybe can.
Wow. Next tweet, got a few likes here, at B Costello Books, and he read our minds. So we didn't even see this tweet before we started talking about it. Quote, is it finally time to acknowledge Lingard is done with this club? If he is merely a squad player, I'd rather that time go to Garner, Gomez, or someone younger. I mean, there you go.
That's right. I mean, Lingard, I think after this game, it's like, he shouldn't be playing Lingard really again. I mean, there's no argument to play him. He did nothing, and we have other players that can play there.
At Banjan Boy for Life, quote, how do you think playing 120 minutes today will affect the team on Tuesday? That is a solid question there.
I mean, I'm especially concerned about the players that played all 120, right? I'm concerned about Bruno, Maguire. They played the whole game. They got a quick turnaround, but they got high-tech shit now, right? They have these like cryo chamber rooms that you can use the day after. I think they're pretty on it, right, with the turnaround. We got a game where it's 2 days later coming up in July. So that's what I'm really going to be concerned. We have like a 16th and an 18th game. Like, that's nuts. Like, one day in between.
Project restart.
There you go.
At Evan_Ginsburg, how can we compete against Liverpool and Man? I mean, how can we compete against a club that shall not be named and Man City when we can barely beat Norwich? I understand this was FA Cup and our backs against the wall without squad depth, but we can't go through a long, rigorous season without good backups. So again, a lot of the highlighting the backups here. I'll give you a quick tweet on the other side of the coin at you, Boson, on Twitter. Quote, I don't think it's as bad as it looked today. Changing eight at once is too much, but two or three changes wouldn't have been as bad, in my opinion. So he's, you know, there's fitness, eight changes coming in, kind of replying to Evan. So I do agree our bench isn't good and we just need to get the deadwood out. There is that element. Like, the Lingard's got to go. It's time for them to go. But I think this is because the season's just been longer than any other season, because the break is kind of how we're feeling about it. Maybe it's the flavor saver Lingard kept on from being quarantined. But I think there's something to you, Balsam, where it's like, let these guys get up to speed. At the end of the day, we need to judge these nine games as all nine games and judge Ole and the players on what they can win and what silverware they can raise at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not worth freaking out, because I think even when we came on this pod, it's like they got the result. They moved through. We made a lot of subs, but they're not up to speed the same way the rest of the team is, because they haven't played as many minutes. I think they'll get there, and I think we just probably made too many subs, and then you can't tinker as much, and you just stick with a starting 11 that's very similar to the core, because there's going to be no gimmies now. There's no more Norwiches.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great tweet. At Chess Tez on Twitter, a pretty crap performance by United, .. A loss on Pens beckoned. Totally. I mean, I felt that same way.
Totally, it did.
You know, credit to Harry for getting that goal. That was like, you know, a captain stepping up. I like Harry because he's in the box at the end of games. He's looking for the winner. You know, I like that as a captain. He doesn't get it very often. We need more slabhead goals. We need that in our lives, but Cruel denied him. But he still worked, getting in the box, scoring a goal. I mean, he's a winner. I really do like Harry Maguire. I know he gets a lot of stick. At Mauger Heath on Twitter, very lucky to win that. As ugly as it was, it highlights that our depth is seriously lacking. Again, same type of theme here. At Fat O Fullyhan, quote, that's a hell of a handle. At quote, how many players away do you think Manchester United are from being dominant? And again, whew, I think we discussed this last pod. I'm going to say three. Like we said, center back, right wing, probably another number 10.
Yeah. Number nine, probably need another striker.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Another DM. You need a Matic replacement. So three or four at least.
That's the problem, is that this is such a complex game, because you're right. You're saying, oh, Matic is great this season, but he's going to fade. That's why you need the director of football. You have to have all this laid out. I mean, it's got to be premeditated, partner. At the end of the day, like, you got to get stronger.
Eddie Woodward, bro.
We should be using this crisis to get stronger, and because of their balance sheet, it's one thing. Look, appreciate the fan questions here. We have one more segment here. It's called The Gut Check. We're going to leave you with this one before we close the pod. This is Paul Scholes in 2016 talking about Manchester United, comparing them to Arsenal right after a Europa League match here enjoy this one.
If they beat West Ham and knock Liverpool out, do you think he's the man going forward? Because he'll be hailed a hero. If they get the results, he'll be hailed a hero this time next week to give him another 100 million.
The last thing I want for Manchester United is for them to be happy with winning the FA Cup and coming fourth in the Premier League. That's what Arsenal do every year. You see them celebrating out on the pitch when they come fourth in the Premier League. That can't happen at Man United. Never in a million years can that happen.
The killer is...
Never in a million years can that happen. And here we are on the podcast talking about winning the FA Cup and finishing top four. That was 4 years ago. Paul Scholes. There's a signed photo of him in my son's nursery. Sir, love Paul Scholes. He scores goals. He's won a lot of trophies for Manchester United. And him, that's a strong statement from him over 4 years ago.
He understands the mentality. It takes an elite type of club mentality to accomplish what United has accomplished in general, but especially under Fergie. It's like the players constantly need to know that they're like pushing the team to always be better. And players come in and out, right? The amount of players that like Fergie used in his 10-year, 27 years at United had leaders amongst them that cycled in and out and always found a team that could come together and win games. It's like, it's unbelievable that he did that, but it's all about the mentality. It's a winner's mentality. You never give up and winning is never enough, right? Like you win a freaking league, it doesn't matter. You got to win a double. You win a double, you got to win a treble. And that's what it's about, man. And it's like, we need to do these things. We need to finish the top four and we need to win the FA Cup and the Europa League. But they should not be celebrated. But they are necessary. We need to accomplish them.
It's like almost like I'm living in a nightmare. And then when Paul Scholes says that, it like affects me physically. Cause it's just like, oh my God, what is going on? Like, how did the goalposts get moved? Like we were winning, like competing every single year. Like the badge on the, what was it, 09-10 Nike jersey says relentless on the back. Relentless at any cost, will win at any cost, always, never gonna give up, always in it. And how many times are we fighting in sixth place? We might win EFL. You know, it's just one of those things where you need that gut check. You need that gut check. And for me, let's just realize where we've come from. I'm not hating on what we got. We're on the way up. I really think there's a lot of positivity for what Ole's doing. But the fact that we're not even like third and just kind of going for silverware, the fact that we're sixth right now and we're like hoping we can get it.
Tough.
And we're begging for City to lose an appeal. And it's like, how many more seasons of sort of ragtag, you know, like these Glazers out scarves, they've been selling like hotcakes from our online store.
There's a reason
because how many more seasons of being in sixth place and like looking at the FA Cup are we going to take? Because Paul Scholes 4 years ago, and it's scary that that's 4 years ago when he's just like, that's never going to happen at Manchester United in a million years. And here we are being like ready to get the champagne out for top four. And it's kind of one of those, hey, that's the gut check. Took the air out of the room.
Way to end the pod on a positive note, sir. I mean, all I'm saying is like, that's what happens with Glazers and Woodward, bro. Seven years of mismanagement and really valuing dollars, taking home as much cash off the table and leaving the club in as whatever of a situation as possible is basically been the MO for really the last 15 years, but 7 years they've been exposed because they got no Fergie to do the deals, which is basically just like keep it all together. And here we are. So maybe Ole's got that magic. Yeah, maybe he's the one cobbling it back together because
that's the point.
It ain't Woodward and it ain't the Glazers.
Well, that's the point. Ole wants the Sancho. He wants these players there to get him there. He's got the right juju going on right now. He's getting it together. Can the FA Cup and top four be the springboard for us to compete for the league? You know, we're obviously the eternal optimist, but I think that's why the positivity is really strong right now at Manchester United because everyone believes what Ole's doing. The question is time. How much time does Ole get to do it? How much money do the Glazers give him to do it? Those are the real questions, and we'll know the answer soon enough, right?
We will, and at the end of the day, it's all about execution. He's got to execute on the. They got to get results, and
you
they got to win stuff.
To win,
you play to win
the game.
So he's going
to
have his
play
chance
to play it. You don't play to play it. You play to win it.
For United, unfortunately, everything's left to play for this season. So it's in our hands. We got to win, man. We got to just start winning games.
All right, that's been the podcast from the bunker. We appreciate everyone who's listened. Again, this podcast is for fans by fans. Alex and I do everything. We do social media, audio engineering, posting the podcast all around the world.
Everything.
And we appreciate everyone for tuning in and listening. We're trying to give you that fan perspective from the couch. If you have any thoughts, feedback, get in touch with us, americanreddevils@gmail.com. We're always open to feedback. Tweet us at USA Red Devils. We love the banter. Again, we want you guys to help shape the content here because we're trying to make the pod better every day. Sir, we've had a hell of a list of downloads. How about you give us these cities. I think the pronunciations are pretty straightforward here.
More or less, but you never know. There's always room for mishaps. But number one, how you doing? How you doing? Quillerville, Tennessee. Number two, Granite City, Illinois. Number three, Chicago, Illinois. Do you want to get on this or you want me to
absolutely
keep going?
College Station, Texas, Hotlanta, Georgia, Laxselv, Norway. Shout out to Norway, the Shire.
I'll keep it going. Number seven, Ashburn, Virginia. Number eight, Eugene, Oregon. Number nine, Thousand Oaks, California. How you doing? How you doing? And last but not least, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate all the Norwegians, all the Americans, all the fans around the world.
Sir, we got 11th place. You got to pronounce that.
Well, I'm good.
Here, come on.
Hafmart, Forgendor.
Iceland.
Iceland, what up?
Iceland, Bay Area next on the list. So again, thanks to all the fans who tune in, listen to the content. It's been an awesome ride. Project Restart, pod's coming fast and furious. Pod never sleeps. Write a review. Get a scarf. You know how it feels, sir. We are how many games unbeaten under the main man?
14. Ole's new record.
How good does it feel?
Ole's at the wheel.
We got Sanchez, Paul Pogba, and Fred. Marcus Rashford is back, Bon and Fred. Greatest of English football, we won it all.
Football.